From JMI Wealth, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
Still building.
Still building. Yes, we're going to segue into the housing market this morning because I think it's starting to look pretty interesting because you've got this, I suppose you've got this divergence creating the intellectual thinking, starting to focus on the fundamentals, but that the price action is seemingly at odds with that fundamental view. So, but with all markets, Mike, a good place to start is supply and demand, and Stats New Zealand released building consent data yesterday. This is to the end of September. So you've got the lockdown level restrictions in there as well. As a wee reminder, Auckland has been in lockdown since the 18th of August, just saying. Look, high level of building consents just keeps trucking on. So for the month of September, seasonally adjusted number of new homes consented fell 1.9% for that month. So your actual number, 4483 versus 4490 in August. But the annual numbers just keep hitting new records. 47,331 dwelling consents issued for the 12 months. So that annual number is up 25%. Auckland's up 29%. Actually, big lift in Canterbury as well, up 31%. But remember, you are comparing to September 20 numbers, which were affected by COVID period, but still we haven't seen this sort of number since the 1970s. And this follows on the trend of very strong issuance in recent months. But I suppose make three key points here, Mike. Firstly, looking at Auckland in particular, the population growth slowing considerably, but you've got quite a lot of increase in supply. That being said, we should expect plenty of work in the construction centre over the next 12 months. Secondly, you've got labour constraints, you've got supply chain disruptions, you've got this enormous amount of building to be potentially that's going to happen. That's not a good combination for price pressure in this sector. So the condition's pretty ripe for the cost of building to actually keep going up. And I keep coming back to this, though, and I think we have talked about this before, Mike. The last question is how many of the consented projects actually get built?
Now, Adrian was out there yesterday. I noted, among other things, he was trying to avoid the blame for all the house price rises.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be quite so. Well, yes, he's downplaying their role in it. He's downplaying their role, I think is what I said. So, yeah, still talking about housing. The Reserve Bank Governor was talking about it yesterday. This was a speech delivered to the Property Council of New Zealand, their retail conference, done virtually, of course, as we do everything these days. A fairly in-depth discussion of some of the causes of house price increases. He did frame the conversation in the context of financial stability and risks associated with that. He noted, or he commented on the inability of the housing market or supply to respond in a timely fashion to changes in demand. You can't just magic up houses. And also said there's no one agency or silver bullet to address this, which I would agree with. You know, sometimes you do have to wait for a thing like the housing market to respond and to correct if you believe there isn't something fundamentally broken. He did say that it is access to land and space that has recently proved to be the biggest challenge to enabling a smooth functioning housing market. And you're right, he downplayed what he referred to as short-term changes in interest rates related to monetary policy. So it wasn't zero interest rates at all. He was saying it was the long-term trend in interest rate, the long-term secular decline in global interest rates over recent decades that was the issue, and also reiterating the thesis that supply is now increasing and demand factors are declining, which should tip the balance back towards sustainable house prices. I mean, they're still talking about them falling. And I suppose there's a wee bit of warning in there as well that household incomes might be stretched as interest rates normalise. So they had nothing to do with it, Mike.
No, they weren't there. No. RBA, now I'm increasingly fascinated. Their story is so different to our story, isn't it, in terms of when the interest rate, I mean, we've already started and they're not talking about, they were talking 24, now it's next year.
This was yesterday afternoon, so they fought with the Melbourne Cup for headline space, but they've had to kill off their yield curve target. So as well as the official cash rate, which I remind over there is at 0.1%, they also target the level of the 2024 Australian government bond, but generally, they target that at the same level. They've had to give that up because the market just pushed that rate so far against them, but they're generally still, the tone of the announcement was quite dovish. Yeah. So they dropped the line of no rate hikes, but they're going to keep the QE going. And they noted that inflation in Australia, quite a lot lower than other places.
All right, numbers please.
The Dow Jones up 157, 36071, up 19 points in the S&P 500, 4632, and up 30 points on the NASDAQ, 15,626. The FTSE 100 down 14, 7274. The Nikkei down 126. 29520, the Shanghai Composite down 39, 1% decline there, 3505. The ASX 200 lost 46 points yesterday, 7324. The NZX 50 lost 38 points, 12,992. 0.7095 Kiwi dollar against the US, 0.9561 Aussie, 0.6129 Euro, 0.5215 pounds, 80.81 Japanese yen. Gold, $1,788.75. Brent crude, pretty steady, $84.54.
See you tomorrow, jmawealth.co.nz.